Show with Luke Brendam.
The Goldies, 92.5 Triple M.
Welcome to the jungle.
Heyo, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. Coming up on today's show, we'll celebrate our tool of the week. I'll give you an update on my car that got flogged earlier this week. Also, we have a bit of fun with the schoolies. Renee Gracie joins us. She's a Gold Coast girl, made $2 million in the last 12 months on the adult site OnlyFans. She's quitting OnlyFans. Who could give up that sort of dough? Why would you give up that sort of dough? She'll join us and explain all. Mayor Tom Tate joins us and we celebrate our caller of the week as well. You can hear that and a whole heap more if you listen to this. It's the catch up and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No. It's tool of the week.
Hit the phones, guys. 132710 is our number. Whoever's got the best tool nomination for us. He's going to pick up $100 to spend at No Name Lane downstairs. What do you want to nominate? Who do you want to nominate? Can I go first? Thank you very much. I could, I guess, nominate the jobbers that stole my car earlier this week, but I don't want to steal anyone's thunder because just reading the text section of the Gold Coast Bulletin and plenty of people are smashing me in there as they are online. A lot of people calling for me to be fined and prosecuted from the cops for not locking my car, and that I got what I deserved, etc., etc. I don't want to steal anyone's thunder, so I'll leave that for our callers. Plenty of people want to rub salt into the wound, mate. Pretty ruthless, I think, but whatever. A lot of people must have never made a mistake in their life. That's the only thing I can ascertain from all of this. I've lost my car. I've lost incredibly valuable stuff to me, really personal stuff, and people just want to go, oh, you should get fined too, mate. You didn't lock your car. Guess what? Shouldn't have to, mate. But, yeah, I know. I made a mistake. I put my hand up. I've been completely open, transparent, and honest about it, and I said I made a mistake. Glass houses, there's so many people must have never ever made a mistake in their life and lead the perfect lives, and they must be unbelievably unhappy to jump on board and just smash people that have had misfortune in their lives and go, you know what I should do? I should spread more misery to the way of these people that have had a little bit of misfortune in their life. Why don't I rub salt into the wound and become a keyboard warrior and troll them online? It's been fairly relentless. I got to say, it's worn me down a little bit. It's made me sadder than the actual kids that stole my car. 17, 15 and 14-year-old kids that stole my car. I'm actually sadder about the online abuse I've copped from some people in our general population than I am about the fact that we've got youths in our community behaving in that manner. Yep, I made a mistake. Put my hand up, and I was really open and honest about it. I stuffed up. I didn't lock my car. Go for your lives. Honestly, go for your lives. But I'm not going to give it to that. I'm going to give my tool of the week to... Oh, I was going to nominate these guys as well. Whoever's running the delay system at Sunrise, they've got an awful delay there. And poor Koshy got caught out yesterday on the show, if you missed it. Koshy was interviewing someone about the fact that Harvey Norman have got record profits despite the fact that a lot of businesses are doing it really tough in these COVID times. Have a go at the delay on Sunrise.
Harvey Norman done so well in the past few months. Is it the same across the retail sector?
Oh. Right, a bit of a delay here with Paul, by the look of it.
Poor Koshy.
Yeah. Good morning.
Paul, is it across the country?
Well, there's winners and losers, actually. So anyone selling anything to do with the home is particularly doing well. So electronics, floor coverings, floor decor are all doing particularly well. But on the other side of the coin, we're seeing that clothing stores particularly have been doing poorly.
Okay. All right. I think the delay is a bit too awkward there to ask any more questions.
Yes, apologies for that terrible link there.
Koshy did so well there, I got to say. From a broadcasting perspective, there's not much else he could have done. That's as bad as a delay as I've ever heard. My tool of the week, I'm going to give it to whoever's running Australian cricket. How about this one? It's the official first day of summer today, in my humble opinion, because cricket starts today. You can't see it unless you've got pay TV. Australia's playing India in a one-dayer right now.
Shame.
Yep, shame.
Shame.
Mate.
Shame.
For years, this would have been on free-to-air. Richie, we would have heard Richie's voice. We would have heard Tony, and we would have heard them all.
The country would have stopped.
Yeah, the country would have stopped. Mate, I've not seen an ounce of it. And not only that, I haven't even heard much banter about it. It just doesn't seem to be what it used to be. And I think it's sad. So Australian cricket.
You're the tool of the week.
Benny from Robina has called through. Go ahead, Ben. Who's your tool of the week, mate?
Well, Brad, as it was going to be you playing golf a few weeks ago, mate, I was behind you. But let's just stick with Pete Evans, mate. There's just no forgiving that guy. He is a tool.
Yeah, what did he do again this week? I remember.
God, what has he done? Some Jewish symbol and something else. He's just a nutter, mate. We've got to get him off air and just put him away.
Crown him, Pete Evans.
The tool of the week.
If poor old Ben going around, where was I playing? Palm Meadows I was playing. He would have spent a fair time, if he was watching me, down by the water bunkers. That's where I was. I played 9 holes and went through 12 balls in 9 holes. That's how bad I was playing. Josh from Narang, go ahead, mate. You're on the air. Who did you want to nominate?
Oh, mate, I don't know his name, but I'm nominating the subby that was working on site with me today who pinched me bloody ladder. While me and the other fella up on the roof.
So what do you do in that case, Josh? You got to stay there until you can get someone's attention?
That's exactly what you got to do, mate. Everyone went for Smoko. I'm not even lying here. Everyone's pissed off for Smoko, and we've come out. Oi, where's the ladder? Old mate's packed it up and put it downstairs. We're stuck up there on the roof for 45 minutes till they all got back to sight.
That is funny.
It was a nightmare, mate, and it was a hot day, I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what the funniest part of this is. The guy that took the ladder, he probably thought he was being really proactive around the worksite, you know what I mean? Like he probably thought he was doing something that he was going to get commended for, and he's left you guys high and dry. I don't know if I love this guy or if I mean, it's your nomination, so let's crown him.
The tool of the week.
Final one, let's go south of the border. Tweet Eds. Gav, go ahead, mate. You're on the air.
How you going, guys? Tool of the week. The fella who stole Luke's car. Tool.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I almost think I want to give it to their parents more than the kids. One of the kids was 14 years of age. But, yeah, no, bugger him. Crown him. Let's go.
You're the tool of the week.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I got an update with regards to my stolen car. Drum roll, please. Let's build the atmosphere here. This morning, my car was found. It got stolen on, what was it, Tuesday night, I think? Tuesday or Wednesday night? Yeah, Tuesday night it got stolen, and I've since gone and hired a car, so that's how I'm getting around town. But they found it this morning in Varsity Lakes, and it's quite a story. These poor guys are working on a house there. They're building a house at Varsity Lakes, and they had a crane which they wanted to get into the building site, but they couldn't get it into the building site because there was a car that was blocking the driveway. And they're like, who is this moron that has parked this Ford Ranger in front of this driveway here? How can we? And then one of the guys have gone, that looks like Luke's car. And sure enough, it was. It was my car. And the cops, I cannot praise our Gold Coast police enough. Right the way from Mark Wheeler, our head honcho, down to Mitch, who was on the scene first and foremost. Every one of them have been just so unbelievable. They've been really great. Frank, who's been calling me and updating me with regards to all the information, they've been so fantastic. And they found it in a couple of days. And I raced out there to Varsity Lakes because the problem was the car was locked and so they couldn't tell what had been stolen and what hadn't been stolen. And I shared with you guys yesterday, I would much rather grab what was inside the car than the actual car itself, because I had some stuff in there inside the car that I quite frankly can't replace. It just so has so much sentimental value to me. Get this one. I mean, if I wasn't a moron enough for having the car unlocked when the thieves jumped into it, the cops go, have you got a spare set of keys? And I go, yes. And they go, where's the spare set of keys? I say, in my bag. I carry the spare set.
I'm not a smart man.
They go, where's the bag? I go, the bag was in the car. So my spare set of keys were in the car. No one's got keys for the car now, so can't get into it. But I race out there because I wanted to just be able to look through the window to see what was in the car. And by the time I got there, the cops had already towed it. Forensics are going through it at the moment. So I still don't know what's been stolen and what hasn't been stolen. But I can't praise our police enough. You guys have been absolutely fantastic. And gee, we're lucky to have them. I really do believe that here on the Gold Coast. And so many people have reached out to me. A lot of people have been abusing me online, and that's fair enough. Left my car unlocked. And as you rightly say, I got what I deserved. But to those of you that have reached out to me who've gone through it yourself, and to a man, every person that's reached out to me privately, plenty of strangers that have gone through the exact same thing. Every one of them had the exact same thing to say about our cops, and that is that they've been awesome. And I can't agree enough. Thank you to our police. It sounds so obvious. Lock your car. Even if you're just going, even if you're at the service station and you're walking in to go and pay, look, you should probably be able to leave your car unlocked. That's sort of community we'd all like to live in. Unfortunately, that's not the community we live in. It only takes, you know, I think 99.999% of us are really decent people, but that small fraction that aren't, they wreak havoc on the rest of us and spread misery around, and they're doing it, and in pretty decent numbers, judging by the amount of people that have reached out to me. So they learn the lesson via my mistake. Lock your car.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
This is another ridiculous game show from Luke called...
This is called Does the Schoolie Know the Answer? We may as well play this afternoon. It's the last chance we'll get to play it. Schoolies Week officially wraps up this afternoon. I haven't missed them, I'll be honest with you. They've been predominantly up on the Sunshine Coast this year, and we haven't had an official Schoolies event. But anyone miss them? Anyone? Anybody? Where's the... No. Nobody's missed the Schoolies. Anybody say they should go to Noosa next year as well? Hey! Jacob from Mermaid Beach. G'day, mate. How are you?
How are you going?
Good, mate. Three general trivia questions to a Schoolie. You've got to guess if they know the answer. If you guess correctly two out of three times, you're off to see... A war with Grandpa. Double pass up for grabs. You ready to rock and roll?
Yes, let's do it.
Okay, mate. First question. I asked the Schoolie, who is the Premier of Queensland? And we're looking for Anastasia Palaszczuk. What do you reckon? Will she know Anastasia Palaszczuk?
Yeah.
You say yes? Okay, let's go to the Schoolie. Who is the Premier of Queensland?
The Premier of Queensland, Tom Tate.
That's a big no. I always tell everyone, Jacob, the best thing you can do in this game is always assume they know nothing. All right? All right, mate. The next question I asked is, can you spell receipt? What do you reckon? Will she know how to spell receipt? Of course, R-E-C-E-I-P-T.
Gotta be yes, boss.
You say yes, she'll know how to spell receipt?
Yeah.
Let's go to the tape.
R-E-C-I-E-T.
Oh. I just told you, Jacob. I dead set just told you, mate.
It's not possible.
You can't be that dumb after 12 years at school, can you? I mean, I was a moron at school. I'm telling you. Back in my day, we had TE scores, right? I was so dumb, I was not even allowed to get a TE score. They put me into a special class with all of my friends. And I knew how to spell receipt. I knew who the Premier of Queensland was. And I'm a moron. What's going on? I bet that chick was smart enough to go to university. I wasn't even smart enough. It wasn't even an option for me. I was so dumb. and yet she somehow gets through life. Hey, sorry, mate. I've got to give the double pass to, who's this? Abigail from Burley Heads. Hey, Abigail, you're off to you're off to the movies. Well done.
Oh, woo! Thank you so much.
Yeah, well done. A comedy for the whole family, The War with Grandpa. It's in cinemas December 3. A double pass for you. Just for fun, you've won the pass. But do you reckon she'll know what weighs more, a ton of bricks or a ton of feathers? What do you reckon? Oh, hang on a second. It says here you actually are a schoolie.
Yeah.
Oh, you are. So where are you from, Abigail?
I'm from Budgerim.
And you come to the Gold Coast for Schoolies Week?
Yeah, I certainly have.
Abigail, do you know who the Premier of Queensland is?
Is it Anastasia Palaszczuk?
Yes, it is. Well done.
Oh.
Do you know how to, Abigail, do you know how to spell receipt?
Yes, ready?
Yes.
R-E-C... E-I-P-T.
Nice, very nice. Who is the Prime Minister of Australia?
Scott Morrison.
Wow, you're a genius.
Oh, I'm so good at this.
What is the capital city of the United States of America?
I don't even...
Have a guess. Just have a guess.
Oh.
Take a stab in the dark, Abigail. What do you say?
Okay. Is it New York?
Hmm.
Is that
what it is? No, it is. Yes, it is New York. No, it's not. Abigail, well done. You're off to the movies on us. Hey, Abigail, real quick. What weighs more, a ton of bricks or a ton of feathers?
Hang on.
Well, think about it.
Don't they wear the same?
Oh, okay. Yep.
Because it's a ton.
Really thought I had it then. Abigail, hang on. We're going to grab your details. Congratulations. Enjoy the last part of school this week. Have you behaved yourself?
Yeah, and sort of.
Would your mum be proud of you, Abigail?
Always.
All right. Hey, hang on there. Whack her back on here. Okay, I'm going to spell some stuff for you, aren't you? I'm going to give you some letters, and I want you to tell me what it spells. Okay.
Okay.
M A C D O N A D M A C D O N A L D S.
McDonald's.
Okay. M A C H-I-N-E.
Machine.
Oh, she's good, mate. She is good. Hang on, Abigail. You've earned your tickets to the movie. So.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Maybe my favourite guest that we get on our radio show is our next guest. Renee Gracie is her name. She made a name in the V8s. One of the few V8 supercar drivers that we had was a female and left that world to start making a mozza on the website OnlyFans. And she's announced yesterday via her Instagram that she's leaving OnlyFans. Need to find out why. Renee's joining us right now. G'day, Renee. How are you?
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Hey, last time I saw you was at a Shell servo. I was walking out and you were walking in.
Yes, yeah, cross paths. It's funny because I'm not in the environment of thinking that I'm going to run into somebody, so I'm in my own world, and yeah, it popped up, and I'm like, hello.
So, Renee,
seeing you there.
Yeah, no, it was weird. Now, here's the deal, right? I'm reading on the Daily Mail website that Renee Gracie is leaving OnlyFans. Now, reading from this article here, it says, V8 driver turned adult entertainer Renee Gracie announces she's quitting OnlyFans after making nearly $2 million in the last year. My question for you, Renee, is firstly, are those figures correct? And secondly, if you're making that sort of dough, why would you quit OnlyFans?
Well, for the first question, I don't like to brag and I don't like to talk about money. It's worked its way out there and people can figure it out roughly by how many fans and stuff I have. So, the earnings have been more than I ever could have imagined. Let's just put it that way. And the reason why I'm leaving is I pay OnlyFans a percentage. So they get 20% of my earnings. So, over the year, I have given them a huge amount of commission. And for me, the platform's not great, but for someone myself, and I see the dollar amount that I've given them in commission, which is, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, I deserve better. So that's how I think of it. I need a website that's improving. I need something where there's no issues, there's no faults, there's nothing. It needs to run seamlessly, and it needs to be up to my expectation. And anyone who's been on OnlyFans or has who uses OnlyFans knows that it's not like that. So there's always issues, there's always glitches. And after a year of using it, I just have to put my foot down. I've got the name, got the reputation, and I am earning the money to make the move and go elsewhere myself. So I decided 12 months is the time to make the change and to make the move to do my own thing. And I think it's out of a respect thing to my fans. You know, I do have a lot of issues with my fans, and it reflects back on me. You know, some people might tip and the money doesn't actually come through to me, but the money gets taken out of their bank account. So the first person to cop it is myself.
Right.
And then I feel bad because they've had money taken out and I haven't received it. They haven't got what they wanted, but I can't give them anything because I haven't seen that the money's there, and then they have to dispute it. And it's just a headache, and it's not fair on them. So it's more out of a respect thing for my fans. I want the best for them. I understand that they're paying to see this stuff, and I just want them to know that they can have complete confidence in the server that they're using. And I also don't want them to think that I'm, taking money from them or in control of a website that's not working.
I understand. I've been doing the maths while you've been answering that question there, and it's roughly $400,000. That you've flung the way of OnlyFans, and that answers my other question, which was, what are you going to do now? So you're going to continue doing what you're doing at the moment, except you'll do it in a way where you're in control and you're
Absolutely. Not okay.
So can you announce where that's going to be at this stage? Have you worked all of that out?
I have worked it out, but I can't announce the actual website yet. But it is my own website. It is my own platform. It is the exact same as OnlyFans. People can use it exactly the same. It has all the same features. I'll be selling the exact same stuff. I've had a year to learn on OnlyFans as well, so I'll be changing a few things. I'll be making a lot more professional than my OnlyFans was, as my OnlyFans is like relatively amateur. It's all on my phone. It blew up to something that I never imagined it could be. So I'm taking the chance to step away and to do my own platform and to be a lot more professional and to really take it to the next level and, to reward my fans with high-quality content and a better platform.
So when you say take it to the next level, I'm wondering what the next level is, because the OnlyFans one was fairly graphic. And what do you mean by that?
I think just level of professionalism,
right.
The quality of the content, how much content they're getting, the structure, the layout, what I post, when I post, and I think just more videos, more interaction, stuff like that.
And I remember last time I had you on the show, you were saying that your boyfriend, you give him an appearance fee. Is that the case?
Yes.
Are we don't go into partnership. You don't need to go into partnership with anyone. Is that the way that will continue? He'll be given an appearance fee?
Yes, correct. Yeah, so all the same stuff will still happen if he wants to make an appearance, which he often does. he will get a co-star fee and we'll continue our deal as normal.
How would your boyfriend feel? Or would this even be a possibility? Because I'm thinking about it from my point of view. I'm in love with my fiance, and she's not on OnlyFans, but if she was, there's no way I would be secure enough to see her with another dude on OnlyFans. Would that be anything that would ever pop up in your relationship? Would your boyfriend be cool enough for you to be with someone else on OnlyFans or on your new website?
I don't get with other guys purely because I don't want to. I'm not interested in getting with other guys because, I have a boyfriend. And to be honest, one male in my life is enough. I message a million of them. I message a million of them daily. And to be honest, I get quite over the male species. So, but he does let me get with other girls, which is great. And
girls, really?
I can put up with and deal with, yeah.
Okay. Hey, Renee, always interesting chatting. Good luck with the new venture. And
thank you.
And how's your mum going? Because I know a lot of what you were doing, you had a sick mum and you were helping financially to be able to aid your mum. How's that all going for you?
Yeah, we can finally go and visit her now, coronavirus and everything's over. So that's been the most important thing, is we got restricted and limited to limited visitations and everything in the aged care home. So we can see her a lot more regularly now and not feel like, we have to wear masks and all that other stuff. We can go a bit more freely and spend more time there. So it's great.
Hey, what about this, Renee? Like, you obviously, I'm assuming, make way more money doing what you're doing now than what you did when you were in the V8 supercar world. Do you reckon we'll see a time where, and they're loyal fans, mate, the V8 supercar fans are probably the greatest fans we have in Australian sport as far as just being loyal and passionate are concerned. Do you reckon we'll see a time where Lounsey goes, hey, hang on a second, mate, Renee's doing it, I can as well. Lounsey, what do you reckon?
I would encourage for all of them to do it. They'd make a lot more money.
Hey, always good chatting to you, Renee. All the best. Thanks for your time, the Savo.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Mayor Tom Tate joining us for a Friday afternoon. Hello, Tom. Welcome to the show, mate.
Good afternoon. Oh, thanks for the music. Good afternoon, mate. Beautiful day. I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Yeah, actually, I just noticed that there's a total fire ban across the coast this weekend with a bit of a heat wave heading our way. That will curb your fire. That will curb your plans. I know that you're planning a massive bonfire this weekend to relax.
Oh, well, mate, no barbecues, eh? No outdoor, that is.
No, she's going to be a scorcher. No, and we're talking to a couple of the guys around here at Broadbeach, Tom, that own cafes, etc. And they're saying they're expecting to get absolutely hammered in the next couple of days when the borders reopen. Is that what you think? Apparently, here on the coast, we're the number one destination for southerners. When the borders finally open, a lot of people are going to be coming here for a holiday.
Yeah, as I speak to accommodation provider and all the businesses, they are bracing themselves, and it's wonderful that everyone can plan and stock up and staff and looking forward to welcome more people in our city so that the businesses can survive and thrive after this COVID.
Do you think it's going to be a extra busy Christmas for us, considering no one's going to be able to go overseas? So Aussies are going to have to holiday locally, and therefore, as a tourist destination, we might get absolutely smashed.
Yeah, I think that's right, Luke. I mean, and the saving not going all the way overseas. But, it's time, really. The people have put off their holiday coming to the Gold Coast, and you'll get those people who hasn't been here for a long time, and they'll get a shock that what a wonderful city up here, and then have a few drinks and then end up buying a unit or something.
Hopefully so. And can I just, while I've got you on board here at the moment, just commend our police force? Through the week, my car got flogged. And I know that a lot of people have been saying, oh, man, our cops are down there manning the borders and this sort of stuff and can't do real police work. Well, I can vouch for the fact that they absolutely do. Our men in blue and women in blue have been just phenomenal for me. And, thankfully I haven't needed the assistance of the cops much in the last few years because I've been lucky enough to escape and being a victim of crime. But having just gone through it, they do a fantastic job.
Mate, it's wonderful that you gave a shout out to the police. Chief Superintendent Mark Wheeler, he and I talk all the time because of the border issue. And it is, and people don't recognise how much they do and effort they do, and they do put their life on the line.
Yeah, they really
and,
do.
And it's great that we recognise that. And you know what? Next time we walk past the brothers and sisters in blue, I reckon give them a thumbs up and just say hello and thank you for their service.
Absolutely. What about you, Tom? Have you ever, while you've been mayor, has your house ever been broken into, or your car or anything like that?
Oh, mate, no, I haven't. I'm fortunate, but I've got a kill switch there.
Right.
Any suspect, I hit the button and I'm very fortunate. I'm very well looked after. But look on the car, mate. I tell you what, I listened to you, and unfortunately you got your car stolen. But I have to say, I was filling up my petrol. I got a bit paranoid, mate. I finished off and I locked my car before I went and paid.
Well, it's funny you say that because I've been copping it, Tom, because my car, if you haven't heard the news, my car got stolen. It was unlocked with the keys in it. So many people saying I got what I deserved, and a lot of people calling for me to get fined as well because it is they're ruthless online, Tom. They're absolutely ruthless. But I just noticed on the Daily Mail website, some poor dude has done exactly that. He's at a Shell servo. He's filled up and walked to go and pay for the fuel, and his car got flogged exactly the same way mine did. He left his keys in the car when he went to pay for the fuel. And the message you're putting out there, Tom, is a good one. Just assume the worst and hope for the best, because they're very opportunistic and fairly ruthless and brazen, and I can vouch for it. So, look, I always thought that we lived in a city where you didn't have to really worry about this sort of stuff. But gee, my eyes have been open because I have been inundated, Tom, with messages from fellow Gold Coasters who've gone through very similar experiences to mine, and that is that they assumed their car was safe because they were, you know, just a couple of metres away, and their car's been stolen in the exact same circumstances. And it's only a small section of the community, but that's all you need at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, mate, I think it only takes you a second to lock it as you walk and pay, and, you know, a bit of peace of mind.
Mm.
It is unfortunate, but, mate, if we can't learn of other people's, you know, mishap, then, you know, there's something wrong. Just be blessed that it didn't happen to you, but doesn't mean that you shouldn't have your guards up a little bit, you know?
Absolutely. Hey, have yourself a great weekend, Tom. Appreciate your time this afternoon.
You too, Luke. Cheers, mate. Bye.
There he goes. Mayor Tom Tate.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
I need to boo someone here because I was just looking at some highlights from the big one day that's happening at the moment at the SCG, Australia v India. And I noticed that they had a pitch invader and he raced out. He was protesting a mine. And look, there's a massive tradition in Australian sport that when someone races onto the field, they usually get a massive cheer from the crowd. Even though it's illegal and you get fined and all that sort of stuff, it's usually met with applause and people seem to love it. But this particular guy just got booed. And the reason why, he came out protesting something about the Adani mine. Mate, fully clothed. If you're going to be a pitch invader, mate, you can't be a pitch invader with your clothes on, mate. It's just, it's un-Australian is what it is. It's bloody well un-Australian. And you want to get the crowd offside, stop the game with your clothes on. You want to get the crowd on your side, get your kit off, mate. Get in the spirit of things. Stop being so un-Australian. It's a disgrace. The judge should fine him double. Should be half price if you get your kit off, because at least you give him some entertainment value. Okay, we love it when you're a part of the show. We love when you call through. And so much so that each and every week on the show, we celebrate our caller of the week. Earlier this week, we were talking about getting into trouble on your wedding night. Because some dude actually spent the night in jail on his wedding night. He got into a fight with the cops. They rocked up to the party for some reason. He spent the night in the watch house, spent his wedding night in the watch house. And we opened the phones up, not expecting that too many people would have had similar experiences. Our phones went berserk with people that got into trouble on their wedding night. But this was clearly the best of a very good bunch.
I just called
the Rush Hour's Caller of the Week.
Lee from Gilston's just called through. What's your story, Lee?
My first husband did exactly the same thing. Had a punch on with the best man and his brother in the middle of the street. I walked off home. I was going to the hotel by myself. He kicked the door in the hotel. He tried to flush his wedding ring down the toilet and rip up the marriage certificate. And so I was like, right, okay. So I packed up and went home to mum. And then the next day I went home to my house and there he was projectile vomiting all over the bathroom.
Yeah, but apart from that, Lee, was it a good wedding?
Oh, it was great. It was a great day.
Unbelievable. You're going to be very hard to beat. Just hang on there, Lee. Thank you so much to everyone that participated in the show this week. We very much appreciate it. And we will be back on Monday afternoon from 4 for your local drive home. Cop you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.